When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Well, hello and welcome to a very special, very sombre episode of Blood Red with myself, Joe Rimmer, joined today with our full-time Liverpool correspondent, Paul Gorst. It's just an incredible sort of pod that we're doing today. Jürgen Klopp has announced this morning that he will leave the club at the end of the season. Bombshell news. Probably the biggest I've been at the Echo 10 years, probably the biggest bombshell news I've ever dealt with. I guess the same for you. And yeah, he says he's tired, a bit burned out, and has told the club his decision in November and has taken the time now to announce it. I mean, just we will cover various topics. We will talk about this at length. We'll talk about who could possibly replace him, who else is leaving. But just give us your initial thoughts as soon as you heard the news.
Yeah, I mean, they took the decision earlier this week to have Klopp's press conference the day after the Fulham game. Yeah. So Liverpool drove back from London Wednesday night, and the press conference was for Thursday afternoon, which...
It's unusual, isn't it?
A very unusual sort of manoeuvre from the club. And you know, me and Doyle were travelling back from London yesterday with James Pearce of The Athletic, obviously formerly of The Echo, and we were kind of questioning why have they done that. It's a bit out of character, a bit different, a bit odd. And apparently people at the club were saying, well, Jürgen's got something on Friday, so he needs to do it today. And didn't really think too much else of it. You know, Klopp has that many commitments week to week. There could have been a coaching meeting, it could have been a commercial sponsorship thing that he had to be at, or could have been any one of a number of things that none of us twigged that it might be, because he's sitting down with the club to announce that he is leaving at the end of the season. He called it a bombshell there in the introduction, and I think that is, you know, sometimes that word's probably overused, isn't it? Particularly in, you know, in the media, but I think that's a very fitting one. Certainly a shock to us when it come through. We had no inkling of it, and, you know, it's kept very under wraps. Klopp said to Liverpool that he mentioned in November, didn't he? Or rather, probably told the owners. I'd hazard a guess that fewer people knew than did inside the club. And it was certainly a shock to us. It's a shock to people reacting to it. Yeah. It's a shock to former players, former employees. And it's a huge, significant moment that will need to be addressed. And it's not just him either, is it? You know, a slew of backroom staff are also leaving. I'm sure we'll come on to them. But as an initial reaction, it was kind of, ooh, we're going to have a busy Friday ahead of us, and bombshell, like you say.
I was in a meeting there, and someone popped their head in and said, yeah, someone's just said Klopp's leaving. And I was thinking, oh, someone's taking
the,
you know, like,
April the 1st.
And I thought, they must have got the wrong end of the stick. There must be something they're missing here, or maybe they're following like a bogus Liverpool account, you know, sometimes you see on Twitter. But no, you know, walk out, it was real. I mean, first of all, I think it's incredible that the club have managed to keep this. I mean, I don't know how many people, like you say, Klopp told them, the owners, I'm sure Pep Linders and Peter Kravitz and his close people knew, whether he told the players or not, we're not sure yet. But it's incredible they've managed to keep this in this day and age.
Yeah.
So quiet for so long, 3 months. I mean, fair play, but it's just a club. Well, it's news that sort of turns the club upside down in some ways, doesn't it? Look, you know, all his backroom staff are leaving. George Schmacher is leaving, the sporting director. FSG have got monumental job on their hands now to sort of redesign. We were talking Liverpool 2.0, but this is going to be Liverpool 5.0 by the time they finish with it. It's a monumental decisions for them in getting all this right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you've got to replace the best of the manager of the 21st century. Mm. You know, I was only writing it the other night after the Fulham game. You know, where's he going to sit in the kind of pantheon of greats when he eventually leaves? It's going to be a massive debate, isn't it? But he's certainly up there with Paisley, Shankly, Daglish, whoever you want to kind of mention. And now it's kind of coming to an end. You can kind of start to have that debate a bit more, can't you? So that's the first one they've got to get right. But also the structure within the club, you know, the kind of framework that's allowed them to be so successful across like the last sort of 5 years, isn't it? You know, the highly respected assistant manager in Pep Linders, the connector Vita Matos between the academy ranks and the first team, and we've seen so many academy players become stars and certainly get a chance and shine this season already, haven't we? So that's going to be a role that they'll have to replace adequately for. And Peter Kravitz was obviously Klopp's kind of long-serving right-hand man, wasn't he? So it's more than just getting the manager right, really. Obviously, the manager will probably have a say on who he's going to be bringing in with his backroom staff. But then the sporting director situation, I think, is a big one on its own. You know, I actually asked Klopp about this last week. You know, what's the kind of thinking for him? And because he only signed a one-year deal. It's coming towards It's coming towards the end of a quiet January. So obviously Liverpool are looking ahead to replacing a sporting director who had actually retired before he was coached back into the job. So that was already a big enough thing for Liverpool to resolve. So now they've got that on top of, you know, the manager and his backroom staff. So it's a huge undertaking for FSG, and at least the speculation around them has been put to bed, hasn't it? Quite, you know, I can imagine if that was kind of hanging in the air as well, it'd just be panic stations left and right. So at least, you know, it's been made public now. They've got sort of 4 or 5 months to get the ducks in a row. But the speculation now, who it's going to be, is going to be ramped up by the week, I'd imagine. And we've already seen, you know, Xabi Alonso top of the odds list. And we've just had a little conversation about one or two other managers, haven't we? So those debates are going to go on, but it's going to be a sad day when that final day does come.
Yeah, my emails are filling as we speak with
John
emails
Barnes has already spoken about Alonso.
Has he?
Doesn't take him long.
Doesn't take him long at all. But, you know, emails filling up with betting companies sending me PR emails saying, Xabi Alonso, Xabi Alonso, Xabi Alonso. We'll come on to him. But this is, you know, we've all seen the Bill Shankly you're having me on. Clip of people finding out about Shankly, and this kind of happened the same way. It wasn't like a rumour that built. It was, oh my god, I mean, my WhatsApp's lighting up. Jürgen Klopp's leaving Liverpool. I mean, this is the sort of news that, I mean, emotionally, how do you feel? You know, you've covered the club for so long, but you are, I think it's fair to say, you are a Liverpool fan. You've covered them. You've sat in so many press conferences, so many breakouts, so many one-on-one interviews with Jürgen Klopp. How do you feel emotionally?
I haven't had a chance to digest it, to be honest. You know, since the news broke, we've just been all hands on deck, haven't we, covering the quotes, the interviews, the knock-on effect of the backroom staff leaving and all that kind of stuff. So as we're recording, it's 12:45. It's less than 2 hours since it became known, or less than 3 hours. We've got a press conference at the AXA Training Centre at 3 p.m. today, so we'll hear a little bit more from Jürgen on that one. That's going to be fascinating, isn't it? But, it's... No, I've had loads of people messaging me already saying they're devastated and heartbroken and all that type of stuff. And you can understand why. That's, you know, hard, he's, really, like you say, he's the modern day Bill Shankly, isn't he? So it's a huge day. But I think in the coming months, that's where it all starts to kind of dawn on supporters of just what this man has done for the club, certainly in the last 5 years. And a cup final to come. It's very rare you get to a cup final, and that's the second big news story of the week, isn't it? But can this be harnessed in a way now to really push on for the rest of the season and go and maybe win the Europa League and you know, the 5 points clear at the top of the Premier League as we're recording this? So Liverpool are in a remarkable position, and I just wonder how much... I don't think it'll derail them in any way. I think it might kind of embolden them to go on and really push on. So it's going to be a really... intriguing last sort of 3 months.
Yeah, Dave Powell, our Business of Football reporter, who's a Chester fan, he tweeted saying they'll win the league now. And I do wonder whether this will galvanise the players in the club to go, you know, we need to make this the most perfect season.
Yeah.
I can't stand all this talk of quadruples after you get to one cup final, but they've got a good chance to give this a glorious end to Jurgen Klopp's reign. And if he wins the Europa League, it's the one trophy he's not at Liverpool. Yeah. So I'd love to see that. And I've been banging on about this big party in Dublin that Liverpool could have if they get there, and what a way.
Well, that'd be after the Premier League season, wouldn't it? So, you're right. I think what the most kind of exciting thing of it all is, you know, Liverpool supporters have had so many great days and great achievements under this manager, but the biggest one yet is still there for them, isn't it? You know, win the league, not behind closed doors. You know, imagine the celebrations across the city and across the world, really, you know, various Liverpool, you know, hotspots. That is the one that you could potentially look at now thinking that could be the greatest ever.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, if you're listening, thank you very much for supporting us, for listening. Please do give us a like, subscribe, wherever you find your podcasts. Go on YouTube and subscribe to our Blood Red channel. Ring the bell and we'll come directly to you. But I mean, emotionally, I'm sort of all over the place. You know, I think for us, for people our age, we're both 35.
I'm 36.
36 now, yeah. Well, I'm younger. But we're both of an age where we'd never seen Liverpool win the league. You know, certainly it was two when they won it last before 2020. And for Jurgen Klopp to deliver, not the European Cup, the league, it just felt like we had to live a lifetime of listening to our family and friends and older people say, oh, you know, these were the glory years. And he lifted that weight, didn't he? Off the shoulders of all the younger fans and the people of our generation. So that was incredible. We got, I don't know whether you've ever seen those, I think like Big People Little World books.
Yeah.
Have you seen them? So my son's five, Samuel, and my dad for Christmas got him, Father Christmas, if you're watching, has got him one of those, it's a Jurgen Klopp book. We've been reading it, and he suddenly like took a real liking to it, been reading it all week. And my wife texted me earlier saying, just as Samuel was getting into it, we could have taken him to a game and he got to see Jurgen Klopp. So I'm absolutely gutted in some ways. But I also think that clubs need to move on. And I think Liverpool should celebrate Klopp now. They should try and enjoy every minute. You know, he's given the club so many memories. And it is sort of reasons why they said, have you got a message to the fans? And he said, try to understand and try to accept it. And it was an appeal for us to not be bitter, not be upset, but celebrate him and celebrate everything they've achieved under him for the next 5 months. And if they do that, it could be a glorious end to the season. And then the club moves on and great managers come and go. There's a chance to open another glorious chapter. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. I think, you know, reading between the lines of his interview with the club, I got the feeling if last season wouldn't have been a total kind of disaster, he might have called time then. He said he was absolutely desperate to kind of get the club back on the rails.
Yeah.
And the fact that he made the decision in November, sort of, 2 months after Ryan Gravenberch signed on transfer deadline day, is like the kind of final piece in the midfield rebuild, if you like. And then the results start coming in, and by November, Liverpool were doing quite well. Mm-hmm. They were looking like they were going to be a top four team again and whatever else. And he probably thought, okay, I've stabilised them and I can finally leave with my head held high, as opposed to shuffling out the back door on the back of a really poor season, and you know that they're the kind of lasting memories of his exit. So, if I feel like that's been something that's been brewing for a while, really. So, the fact that heading into the final third of the season in such a great position across all competitions, he probably thinks now is the right time to get out, and whatever happens between now and the end of the season, you know, Liverpool look like they're going to be back in the Champions League next season. They could easily have a Carabao Cup to their name as well before the end of the season. And they're probably, that's probably a conservative estimate of what Liverpool can do this season. So, yeah, it's a demanding job. He's never kind of hit that or shied away from it at all. And after nearly a decade, it probably does take it so long, doesn't it? And we know that he recently became a grandfather over the summer. I think that's probably played a big part in his thinking. I think he mentioned for the October international break that he had a visit back to Germany lined up, and he was going to see his grandson, and he was really looking forward to that. And you know, similar to Julian Ward to an extent, you know, after so long at such a big club, you do need a little bit of a rest and a recharge. And one of the big things he said for his new contract in April 2022 was he asked himself, has he got the energy for it? And the answer was yes at the time, but over time, the energy levels drop, don't they? And he thinks that he's best stepping away and see what happens next. But whatever happens now, you know, going forward, it's going to be fascinating in terms of how they kind of rebuild the inside of the club.
I think he's an emotional man as well, Klopp, isn't he? And you can tell that he lives the roller coaster of the club. Yeah. And it probably does take its toll on him. You can kind of tell that. And in the video that the club put out today of him talking about it, you could just tell that there's... I think it probably has taken its toll on him in the last couple of years, especially since COVID. And, you know, he's managed Liverpool during a very unique spell for the world, hasn't he, with COVID hitting and stuff. So I think, I think he's always struck the right chord, hasn't he? And the moment he walked in and said 10 doubters, believers, you know, I remember seeing that interview at the time and thinking, wow, what a thing to say. It was the perfect thing for Liverpool fans to hear at that time. It just chimed with getting people up for it. And
Sluggett's reference on that line, nine years on.
It's basically, you know, all the things we can quote from Shankly, that will be, I think, the Jurgen Klopp quote. If there's ever a statue, which maybe there should be outside Anfield one day, that will be... He turned doubters into believers, probably the thing that's underneath it. And that, I think we shouldn't underestimate how tough it was to turn Liverpool fans from doubters into believers, because I think a lot of us who'd seen all those near misses for the league, seen, you know, players slip at the crucial moment, seen, you know, other teams put together some of the greatest runs of their lives. Yeah, we've seen glorious moments, we've seen European Cups, we've seen trophies galore, but I think with the league... I always certainly, personally, had that doubt in the back of my mind that Liverpool could get over the line, Liverpool could put it together in a 38-game season. I mean, there were spells where... I don't remember the spell before they lost at Watford. I don't know how many games it was, but they drew one game and won every other game. Yeah. Some of the sequences Klopp put together in his time at Liverpool was just incredible. Playing a high-energy, attractive style of football that got the fans on side, creating some incredible players who... Let's face it, Liverpool didn't buy many superstars. They didn't go out and buy Cristiano Ronaldo. They made superstars. And for Klopp to do it in the style that he has with some of the budgets that he has, I think is just incredible. And to me, obviously best manager in my lifetime, but I think Alex Ferguson, you can talk about, but for me, beats Guardiola because of the resources Liverpool had and the things that he's managed to do at Liverpool, which I think was altogether harder than Man City's sort of well-oiled, really rich machine that just was sort of built for success. So I think it's been incredible. Runners and riders, obviously Alonso has come straight into it. You and I had a little debate before over the desk, so let's sort of reprise that now. De Zerbi, you were quite keen on.
I mean, it was more just for devil's advocate, but I do like De Zerbi. You know, I sat in the front row of his press conference at Brighton when after the 1-1 draw, and just struck me as having a bit of charisma about him and kind of answering things properly. And you know, it's different now because since I've been doing this job, I can kind of look at managers in a different light. I kind of think what would it be like going to his press conference every Friday and listening to it. And I hear people like Erik ten Hag who don't really inspire, you know, I remember Marcelo Bielsa is kind of revered as he was and is throughout football. I remember thinking it'd be difficult to listen to this, you know, every week. And Klopp was the perfect manager for that. He always struck the right tone. He could be spiky with the press. He still will be, I'm imagining, in a couple of hours he'd probably snap back at one or two of us. But he is a character and he's charismatic and he always gives you a line and they're sort of some of the things that I look at now, obviously aside from the results. And when we've always spoken about who do we think will replace Klopp, for me it's always been about who is the manager at the time, who is flying at the time, because managers, you know, blow hot and cold, don't they, based on the last five results or whatever. So it's always been something that kind of kicked down the road, but I suppose now in the coming months we'll have to kind of look at it properly. And Xabi Alonso is absolutely flying, isn't he, at Bayer Leverkusen? Are they top of the Bundesliga at the moment?
They haven't lost all season, which is incredible.
Huge result against Leipzig last week, beat them 3-2, obviously big team in Germany themselves. Just seems to be someone who knows what it's like. You know, he seems to have carved out a really good reputation already as a top manager. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way, does it? When you're a top player, you don't translate that into being an elite manager so easily. We've seen it with Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
Gary Neville, perhaps to a lesser extent. Yeah. But Alonso, so far, so good. So, you know, it is sort of who's the kind of flavour of the month at the time, and I'm sure what he's doing at Leverkusen will be being looked at very closely now, you know, in the FSG bubble, and probably has been for a while, really, certainly since Klopp announced his plans in November. Aside from him, there's not too many who jump out, are there, really?
Yeah.
It's the most difficult job in football, isn't it, replacing Klopp? It's going to be a thankless task.
Yeah.
But it's one that they're going to have to get right.
It's funny, isn't it, because we were talking before when Brendan Rodgers left or was under pressure. I remember at that time Klopp was out of work, he'd left Dortmund, and he was on his sabbatical, and Carlo Ancelotti, I can't remember who'd left, but he was out of work at the time. It might have been Real Madrid the first time around. He was out of work at the time, and Liverpool fans were sort of, whoever he spoke to and he said, which manager do you want? Both of their names came up,
yeah,
you know, almost always.
Klopp seemed the obvious choice, didn't he, given what he'd done at Dortmund?
But
I remember thinking at the time, he's probably out of Liverpool's reach, you know,
they're
not particularly doing great, and he was one of the, even then, he still had a massive reputation, didn't he?
He felt a good emotional fit, didn't he? Mm. By the way, sorry, if you're sitting there wondering why we're touching our phones, I don't want you to think we're being rude, we're just sort of looking at the latest reaction. I've actually got the Bundesliga table open.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see what's coming in as we're doing this.
But I remember at the time, there were clear favourites. And I know there's a clear favourite now, but there's nobody really out of work. There's nobody. Liverpool that tend to take, I mean, other than Rodgers, I'm trying to think in my lifetime, managers who have won silverware or have been involved in winning silverware. I know Julier was involved in the France 98 win. Rafa Benitez has obviously won the league. Klopp had won the league. You know, these are sorts of managers. Obviously, Roy Evans was promoted from the boot room, and Graham Souness had won titles in Scotland. So there was. They tend to go for people proven. So Xabi Alonso would be totally, well, not totally unproven, but very unproven. Mm. He's very, very early in his career, and I think that is a huge gamble, and I don't always like thinking about ex-players because you love them as a player. It doesn't mean that we'd be a manager, but I think the job he's doing, it's not just, I think with managers, it's not just the sort of, their tactical abilities or just their inspirational, it's also the aura, and Klopp had an aura, Pep has an aura, Alex Ferguson had an aura, even Benitez had an aura in a way, didn't he? And if you look at what Leverkusen are doing this season, 15 wins in the league, 18 games played, 15 wins, three draws, no defeats, 48 points, that's four ahead of Bayern Munich, who, you know, tend to walk that league. Mm. 50 goals scored and only 14 conceded. And again, to put that into context, Bayern Munich have scored 53 goals and conceded 16. So, you know, sort of posting those types of numbers that the best team the Bundesliga post. I mean, it's not just like Gerrard did well at Rangers and Lampard did well. You know, it's not just a young manager starting out. It really is impressive stuff, and I feel like he's got that aura about him. Liverpool fans will buy in, and that's a big thing. You know, you need fans.
Yeah,
fans were split on Rodgers almost from the moment he came in. As soon as he was under a bit of pressure, he struggled, and I think fans will buy into Alonso. De Zerbi, for me, my worry with Brighton and some of their managers, we've seen before that the setup there means that some managers can shine and Potter shone there. But we found out pretty quickly at Chelsea he was kind of out of his depth, and I don't necessarily know whether De Zerbi would be right for Liverpool.
I mean, he's got what? Just a little over 12 months at Brighton. He finished sixth of them last season, and he obviously really pushed them on. And
he did well in Italy as well, and he was at Shakhtar, wasn't he?
Got them into the Europa League for the first time in their history. Yeah. But he's had to deal with some big losses, hasn't he? Alexis McAllister, Moises Caicedo, and he's trying to replace them on a little bit of a smaller budget. But, you know, he's certainly someone who's got pedigree. I think with Alonso is, and he'll probably already said it in various interviews, the amount of quality managers who he had across his career, you know, Carlo Ancelotti, obviously, Guardiola at Bayern Munich, is that right? Benitez at Liverpool, Del Bosque at Spain, I think when he won the World Cup 2010. You know, we'll have picked up little bits from all of those, and a similar thing with Steven Gerrard, where he had loads of top managers across his career, but, you know, Alonso, is very much walking the walk at the moment, yeah, isn't he? In a league that's usually dominated by Bayern Munich. If he goes on and wins the Bundesliga, I think he would be the outstanding candidate for me.
Carlo Ancelotti just signed a new deal at Real Madrid, hasn't he? And that a lot of people thought he might go to Real Madrid.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't strike me as someone who comes in and takes a project, though, Ancelotti.
No.
Very much, you know, a match day manager, if that makes sense.
What I was saying was that Alonso was favourite to go to Real Madrid, wasn't he? But if Ancelotti's staying, then it sort of opens the door. And you're thinking, you're looking at Alonso thinking, if you're going to cut a very promising spell short at Leverkusen, where would he go? Well, you're already thinking Liverpool and Real Madrid are the two clubs. If Real Madrid's not available, Liverpool is. It kind of feels as if the iron is hot type thing.
I mean, if it wasn't Xabi Alonso who was leading the Bundesliga and playing this sort of football where they're not losing and whatever else, and I think they're up there with Liverpool as one of the Europa League favourites, aren't they?
Yeah.
People would probably already be looking at it and thinking, who's this fella? You know, he might be all right. So, yeah, it's
tricky, isn't it? I mean, the other one we haven't mentioned yet, obviously with Liverpool announcing not just Jurgen Klopp's departure, Peter Kravitz, Victor Matos, but Pep Linders, which I thought was very interesting, because Pep Linders is someone that has been spoken about so many times. And within Liverpool's statement, they said Pep Linders also leaves as he's keen to pursue a managerial career. And I thought that was quite interesting, because it was almost the club saying, but that won't be with us. And maybe that's just part of the language that they're using, and as the season goes on, we might see a negotiation, whatever. But I thought it was quite interesting that they announced Pep Linders' departure when a lot of people have spoken about Pep just maybe stepping up and continuing Klopp's style and Klopp's reign after he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few opportunities to speak to Pep this season with the Carabao Cup press conferences, and it's just sometimes hearing a different voice, you know, it's nice to hear some of his insights, and some of the things he says makes you think, oh yeah, I don't really think of it that way, you know. Fascinating the way he talks about the game. But he has tried manager positions previously, hasn't he? He managed NEC Nijmegen in Holland for 6 months.
Yeah,
it didn't particularly work. Probably 100,000 reasons why none of them reflect accurately on his kind of coaching acumen. But it is interesting that, you know, that they've already announced that he's been leaving. Maybe when the job becomes available, he then forwards a CV and they have a look at it. I don't really know. But he's another one who's been at the club. He's been there longer than Klopp, hasn't he? He's been there 10 years now and sort of come through the rankings, and he's still only 41. He was 41 on Wednesday, so he's still very young and you know, one of the most highly rated assistants in European football, you'd imagine. But does that translate to the big job itself? We're not sure. But these are the sort of questions that the right people have got to get right in the next few months, and it's going to be fascinating, really, isn't it?
It is going to be fascinating. I'm going to put you on the spot. 5 Klopp moments, yours, give us them.
Win the Champions League in Madrid.
Top number one.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Biggest competition in club football, isn't it? And that sort of 2-minute video that the club put out where they're just training on him for maybe like 3 or 4 minutes just like following him around the ground. Yeah. And that was incredible. Unbelievable. Win the Premier League, obviously. I was fortunate enough to be there when they lifted it, but I know that so many others weren't, and that was kind of dampened it slightly.
Would that be above?
I think so. If that would have been 50,000 in Anfield on that night. But obviously the way it checked out. Club World Cup was a big one, actually. I think it was the only competition the club hadn't won. And they went and won it in Qatar, was it?
Yeah.
That was quite big. Barcelona, Anfield's greatest night, wasn't it? 4-0. There's 4. And running on the pitch when Origi got to Barbie, just because of the local rivalry, but we could sit in and pick out 25 and mine just 5.
I'm going to throw back in that very first interview, Doubters to Believers, and just breathing a breath of fresh air into Liverpool that was just so desperately needed at that point, doing exactly that. It was sort of confirmed that everyone's suspicions that his personality would suit Liverpool so well. He did exactly that. He bought into what the club was about, what the city was about. And there's a million on-pitch reasons why he's been a brilliant Liverpool manager, but it's all those off-the-pitch things. Yeah. You know, I know his wife did things, you know, sort of during COVID, which were really good for the city and for different people. He was just somebody that gets this place, and not everyone does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the video the club put out on Christmas Day of the young fan from Ireland who come over with severe disabilities, and that was just an incredible
yeah.
insight into the charisma of the man, his ability to just sit and talk with these strangers yeah. who revered him, but he yeah. was talking like they were
yeah.
they were his friends and he'd known them for years. And I know that was loads of supporters were talking about yeah. that on Christmas Day, weren't they? And that was, you know, little things like that that he's done. And he's, you know, you can't think of anyone better than, you know, you can think maybe certain managers do this yeah. and certain managers do that, but the off-the-field stuff, the human stuff, yeah. the human element of it all, which is a significant one at a club like Liverpool with the things that they have to, you know, deal with on a week-to-week basis, really. But that was incredible for me. And I suppose it's one of the things that might come into consideration when they're looking at the replacement. Because, like you say, it does go beyond what team you're picking over weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, just one final thing before we go. What was he like behind the scenes? You've dealt with him a lot. Obviously, you see the jokes, you see the personality, you also see the spiky bits.
Yeah.
what was he like one-on-one? What was he like in those moments where the cameras aren't rolling?
Funnily enough, on Wednesday, I was at the Fulham game and I was trying to get into the mix zone where the reporters can talk to the players, and it was all cordoned off because Liverpool was just coming out, and he got kind of, not ambushed, wrong phrase, but they all just kind of, loads of fans piled towards the barrier, and he was signing autographs and taking selfies with them and saying hello. People were on FaceTime saying, say hello to Dave, and he was like, hello, Dave, and you know, he didn't know journalists were about. I was just kind of standing at the back, just watching it all unfold, and you could tell he was faintly embarrassed by the attention on him, and the security were a bit twitchy and whatever else, but it just encapsulated the, you know, what he means to people, really. These are all kind of young fans, absolutely loving the fact that Jürgen Klopp was there signing the shirts and all that type of stuff. And with the press, it depends what day you caught him on, what you asked him, what he wanted to know. And he's certainly shot back at me a handful of times and other people a few times as well. But at the moment, there's certainly a bit of a spring in his step. There's a feel-good factor around the place in general, and he's feeding into all of that. And I think it bodes well, actually, that he told them in November, and Liverpool's results haven't dipped as a result. Yeah. So if they can kind of harness that for the coming months, it could yet be the greatest of all of the seasons.
Oh, brilliant. We'll get you back on after this press conference later on, and we'll have a good chat. If you'll humour me before you go, we will be covering the press conference live. We will have plenty more to come throughout the day, throughout the coming weeks. You can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts, on YouTube, on Facebook, Blood Red LFC. And also you can sign up to one of our WhatsApp groups to have news directly to you. And we've got a great new app. A lot of people say to us, we can't read your stuff. The adverts are awful. and we get that. But we've got this new premium LFC app. If you type in LFC Echo into App Store or Google Play Store, you'll find it with some great premium content. I promise you, no adverts, really slick, really nice, and perfect timing, really, if you want to read all about Jürgen Klopp. So thanks very much. And good luck today, of course. No tears, please?
No. You might be in a good mood, though.
Yeah, cool. All right, see you soon.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.